Well, you can open up to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And, you know, it was interesting. I got a text last night, and it fell right in to the message. Basically, I was working on it right there on my computer. And the title of tonight's message is, Speak the Desired End Result. Okay, are you there in Mark? Okay, this is the modern English version. It's the Kenneth Copeland Word of Faith Study Bible that I use. Okay, we're going to start with verse 12. Mark 11, verse 12. It says, On the next day, when they had returned from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing from afar a fig tree with leaves, he went to see if perhaps he might find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing except leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Jesus said to it, May no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard it. They heard it. Jesus was speaking to a tree. Do you think it could hear him? Well, we're going to find out, aren't we? Jesus was hungry, it says. And when he went to that fig tree, he was looking for those tender little buds, which are always found on the tree when its leaves were out, but found none. This indicated that the tree would not produce any fruit that year. Jesus then used the tree for teaching purposes. Yes, it was a lesson for the disciples. Because he said to that tree, May no one ever eat fruit from you again. And after he said that, then we can infer that he just turned and he walked away. Because in verse 15 it says, And he and his disciples came to Jerusalem. They went straight to Jerusalem. And what? And he went into the temple and cleaned house. Okay? Well, anyhow, once Jesus spoke to the tree in faith, there was no need to look back anymore. He had given the faith command. No man would ever eat fruit from that tree again. As far as he was concerned, the tree was finished. It died the moment he spoke and turned to walked away and took his first step. It was done. Jesus and his disciples, though, they passed by that tree the next day going back to Jerusalem. So if we would jump down to verse 20, it says, Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look! The fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Jesus spoke the end result, and that was the end of it. That was it. He spoke to it. Did it happen right away? It says, it was the next morning, and it was withered away. Now you can turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And we're going to look to verse 35 through 39. Remember, speak the desired end result. Verse 35. That same day when the evening came, he said to them, Let us go across to the other side. When they had sent the crowd away, they took him in the boat just as he was. There was also other little boats with them. And a great storm arose, and the waves splashed into the boat so that it was now filling the boat. He was in the stern, asleep on the pillow. Nothing disturbs Jesus. He doesn't get shaken. They woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Now see, just not only them, but they got a pretty good sized boat for all them to be in. But there's a bunch of little boats out there. And if this one's getting filled, you know what's happening to those little boats. Jesus arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Jesus spoke the end result, and that was the end of it. When words spoken in faith go out from our mouths, they produce the desired and expected result. Just as Jesus said, "May no one ever eat fruit again from you." They never did. Let us go cross to the other side. They ended up on the other side, did they not? "Peace be still." Wind stopped. Speak the desired end result. John chapter 11. Look to John chapter 11. This is about Lazarus. When Jesus received word that his friend Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was at a couple days before going to him. Okay, you're there. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. Now a man was sick, Lazarus, from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him saying, "Lord, he whom you love is sick." Now they wouldn't have sent people to go get Jesus if he had a head cold or a little bit of congestion. He must have been on the verge of death. See, because when we hear that, "Oh, sick," okay, it was sick. That was a little bit more serious. Verse 4, when Jesus heard this, he said to his disciples, because he didn't get excited. He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he remained where he was 2 more days. Nothing excites Jesus. Nothing excites Jesus. Who are we to trust in and rely upon with all of our hearts? Jesus. See, Jesus was up beyond the Jordan River, up where John originally had been baptizing. And he remained there teaching. After a couple of days there, he decided it was time to go waken his friend Lazarus. Waken his friend Lazarus. Look to verse 11. Verse 11 in John. He said to his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going that I may awaken him from sleep." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he is sleeping, he will be well." Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of getting rest through sleep. So they needed clarification. So then Jesus plainly told them, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, so that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Well, Jesus, he's dead. Okay, oh, we're going to go up and pay our respects. That's what it is. We're going to go to the viewing. That's what it is. That's what they're thinking. But he knew what he would do, and he already saw the end result by faith. Verse 38 there in John. Now, jump down to verse 38 through 44. Then Jesus again, groaning within himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." A lot of curious onlookers looked. Okay. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, are you sure? By this time there is a stench. Come on. For he's been dead for 4 days now." Ah. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you, girl, that if you'd believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me." He always hears us also. He hears us. When you get a thought in your head that says, "He ain't hearing me," he is, because that thought is from the devil. Jesus hears you every time you go to him. But we are to wait upon the Lord and wait patiently. Wait upon him. He's heard it. Go and take care of it. He'll take care of all five of them. You don't have to worry about them. All right. Let's get back to where we're at here. Okay. All right, again, 41. So they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you." That's what we ought to be doing. "I thank you, for you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said this that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" He who was dead came out, his hands and feet wrapped with grave clothes, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him, let him go." Those grave clothes no longer have a hold on him, because he is no longer dead, but alive. When Jesus spoke the words, "Lazarus, come out," the end result was Lazarus came out. Because he said, "I'm going and I'm going to awaken him." And he did, with resurrection life. He had already seen his father bring life to death from the dead, those that were dead in the word. Elijah. He was staying with a widow woman and her son during the drought. All under God's direction, by the way. God's the one who had him pray for the drought in the first place. Told him where to go to relax in comfort. And then when that place ran its course, he told him to go see this lady. She'll take care of you. Don't worry about a thing. And he does. While he's there with him, the woman's son dies. The man of God is staying with a woman and her son that God put him there, and now the son dies? Was that from God? I don't think so. So she reaches out to Elijah and says, "What's with this? I take you in and my son dies?" She's looking to him for help. "Where's your God?" Well, Elijah, in 1 Kings 17, verses 21 and 22, 1 Kings 17, 21 and 22, Elijah stretched himself upon the child 3 times, and he called out to the Lord. What did he do? Called out. So that means he prayed. He prayed, and he said, Oh Lord, my God, I pray that you let this child's soul come into him again. Verse 22. The Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And he'll hear your voice. And the soul of the child came into him again, and he was revived. He was alive. More alive than he'd ever been. Now, how about Elijah's Padawan? Elisha. Him and the Shushamite son's, woman's son. Remember that? He would go by, him and his apprentice, and she made a place for them to stay while they came by. And she would fix him dinner. Every time he was in a neighborhood, all he'd do was stop. He had a place to stay. He had a meal prepared for him all the time. And then what'd he do? He got a word from the Lord, because they didn't have a child. And then the Lord said, you're going to have a child. And she did. She didn't ask him for a child, did she? No, she did not. God blessed this woman with a child. As he got a little older, he was out in the field with his daddy now, because he was old enough. And he started to have a severe headache. So he told the servants while they were out there reaping, you take that boy, take him back to his mother right now. Took him back to his mother. And she's cuddling him, and he's crying because his head is hurting severely. Well, come about noontime, he died. Died in her arms. At that point in time, she knew where Elisha was. She knew where that man of God was. She put the boy down in his bed, and then she told the servant, get me a donkey. Get me the fastest one you got. She mounted that donkey and she headed for the man of God. And she went to him. And she says, hey, what's with this, man of God? My son died. I didn't even ask you for this gift. And now I'm suffering a loss. What's with this? What can you do for me? What can your God do? Well, she knew what God could do, but she didn't know how to bring it about. But she knew who to go to, the man of God. And the man of God sent his man out ahead of time. Said, you go lay my staff on that boy. And she said, well, I'm not leaving until you come with me. He was getting ready, but he sent his apprentice out ahead of him. And they mounted him and the woman, and they head back. Well, about two-thirds of the way there, and here comes his apprentice. Says, I did what you said, Elisha. But he didn't get up. Elisha said, okay. And he kept trucking. They said, okay. Kept trucking. Now his apprentice is figuring, okay, hey, why are we going? And then, you got to trust God, right? He goes on in there, right? Now you look at 2 Kings there. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 32 through 35. When Elisha came into the house, he saw that the boy was dead, lying on his bed. So he went in, and he shut the door on the two of them. Oh, and prayed to the Lord. He prayed to the Lord. He went up and laid on this child, put his face on his face, and his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. Then he bent over the child, and the child's flesh warmed. Then he got down, walked once back and forth in the house, and went up and bent over him. The boy sneezed 7 times. And the boy opened his eyes. And he was alive. Again, alive more than he had ever been. Healed. Whole. Whatever was in his head was gone. He was healed. But the boy sneezed 7 times. 7 is the number of completeness and perfection, both physical and spiritual in the Bible. He was made perfect. He was made perfect. In John 14:10, Jesus said, "Do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me." He'll work through you as well. When Jesus and his disciples arrived at the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus stood before it and he prayed to the Father in faith, and he spoke the desired end result. "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus came out. Jesus always spoke the end result. See, when the faith command is given, it expects the end result. Yes, for whatever it is that is given. Well, you're going to say, that was Jesus. And all I got to say is, so? Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction." She spoke the desired end result, did she not? "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." She was made well. Oh, man, I'll bet she was raising a hallelujah. But you know what it took? It took faith. Faith. It took faith. It wasn't the faith of Jesus. It was her faith. She acted in her faith. Because in verse 34 there of Mark 5, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Never to return again. When Jesus heals, he heals. It ain't coming back. Nahum 1:9. Right? "And this affliction shall not come upon you a second time." You stand on that scripture. When you go through something and you say you're healed and you get a healing, just use Nahum 1:9. It's not coming back. See, our words have the same power to speak the desired end result. When Jesus and his disciples passed by that fig tree the next day going to Jerusalem, Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." And what? Jesus very calmly replied. You notice Jesus never gets excited. Never gets excited. He said, "Truly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be thrown into the sea,' it will be done." That's what he said, folks. I say to you, he who has an ear, let him hear. Faith in our words will work the same way because we are born of His Spirit. We are joint heirs with Him and have His faith. His words spoken in faith out of our mouths release the power. We have the power. We can utilize the power. Mark 11:22 says, have the faith of God. We received our faith and its mighty power from God Himself when we became a new creation in Christ. And the Holy Spirit came to dwell in us. The greater is He that is in you. Hallelujah. Yeah. And Jesus at that time became the author and the finisher of our faith. Did He not? Yes, He did. And then in Hebrews 3, verse 1, Hebrews 3, verse 1, it says, therefore, holy brethren, that's us, partakers of the heavenly calling. Okay. Consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. We are partakers of the heavenly calling, the heavenly anointing, and Jesus has become the high priest of our profession or confession. When we speak to the mountain in our life, He is the high priest over our words in faith. And if that's so, the mountain has to move. It has to move. See, He expects us to exercise our given authority. Our given authority. Luke 10:19, Jesus said, I have given you authority. Authority to trample upon the serpents and the scorpions and over all of the power that the enemy possesses. And nothing shall hurt you. Nothing. And He also expects us to exercise our dominion. Our dominion here on the earth that we've been given, right? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and then let them have dominion over the flesh, over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. We have dominion. We can take dominion. He said so. And we are to speak the desired end result just as He did. The young synagogue ruler. Mark 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jairus approached Jesus in a crowd to beg Him to come and heal his daughter, Jesus moved towards his house. Starts going down the road. But then all of a sudden it got interrupted, did it not? Got interrupted with the woman with the issue of the blood. And during that time, it took to hear that woman's testimony and to minister to her. Well, there was a messenger showed up. And he came from Jairus' house. And he told him, your little girl, she died. She's dead, sir. Overhearing this, Jesus immediately spoke words of faith to Jairus. He said, do not be afraid. Simply believe. And he continued walking with Jairus to his house, knowing what he would do. He spoke the desired end result to the crowd of mourners already gathered at the house. This girl is not dead, but sleeping. She's sleeping. Well, the mourners, they laughed him to scorn, knowing full well that she was dead. But Jesus wasn't moved. He never is. Neither should you be. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He continued in faith, seeing in his spirit the desired end result he had spoken. He didn't once agree with the bad report or stop to discuss how the situation looked, but continued speaking faith. He entered the room with a couple of his disciples and the little girl's parents. Jesus took the girl by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumai," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately, the girl arose and walked. Jesus spoke the desired end result. "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And then 2 hours later, she got up. No, immediately. Immediately, that little girl rose. She was ready to play. She was healed. Not partially, wholly healed. She got up there, she was wholly healed. By Jesus, the Holy One. She was probably full of energy. You know what it's like? Let me speak to her. You know what it's like when AJ's wound up? Woo! That's the way she was. She was flying around there. And if you've ever seen AJ out there, he had, boy, got a lot of energy. I want to tap some of that sometimes. But she was alive. Because she had resurrection life in her. Jesus expects us to walk in his faith and do the same things. Because what did he tell his disciples in Luke 10:19? "I have given you authority to trample upon the serpents and the scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy." And what else does he say? "And nothing shall by any means hurt you." Nothing. But there's a thing called our head. And boy, do thoughts come into our head. And we know where those negative thoughts come from. And we got to get rid of those thoughts. And how do you do it? You raise a hallelujah, you start praying, and you start worshiping. Am I right, brother? You got that right. But he rebuked his disciples, did he not, for not using their own faith in the storm? Because in Mark 4, verse 40, he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Now, he knows they had some faith, but they weren't using it. Use your faith. Faith in action goes a long way. And he said to Peter, when he began to sink after walking on the water to go to Jesus, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Peter, why did you doubt? We could have been doing a square dance out here. No, I'm having to usher you back to the boat. But at least he did get out of the boat. But he expected Peter to continue walking on the water just as he had. There's no difference. Peter should have been able to walk on the water and stay up walking on the water the whole time. When he says, "Come walk on the water with me," don't be afraid. Step out, walk on the water. You aren't going down. You got to get out. And you got to exercise your faith. Your faith walks on water. Your faith as a believer moves mountains. Your faith as a believer makes you more than an overcomer. Because see, he done set you free. You've been set free. Jesus expects us to cast down doubt and unbelief and to use the faith he gave us to speak to mountains, fig trees, and any other obstacle that may come our way. Don't allow yourself to think about or consider bad reports in the natural. Think about the truth instead. The truth is whatever the Word of God says about your situation. Faith is a force from the heart, not the head. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. It's what Romans 12:3 says. So unleash the force you have already seen. Unleash the force. Start speaking the desired end result, just like Jesus did. You have the faith to do that. By your words, you are able to do that. You received all the faith you'll ever need when you made Jesus the Lord of your lives. Always consider the good report of God's word, not the news reports, not the doctor's reports, not the economy's reports. Have faith in God. The God kind of faith in you will work for whoever will put it to work. Use your measure of faith and work the word, because the word works. In Galatians 5, verse 6 of the Passion Translation, all that matters now is living in the faith that is activated and brought to perfection by, ready? Love. What's love got to do with it? Let's do as Jesus did in faith. Speak the desired end result. Amen. Amen. Thank you.